Okay, it is 6 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, April 22nd, 2025. We will call the Common Council meeting to order. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Middleton.
Here.
Varga.
Here.
Romano. Absent. Weigel.
Here.
Robinson.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on March 25th. The only change I had was Joanne Bird's name under Columbia City Connect was misspelled. Besides that, any other changes or corrections?
Yes, I have four.
Okay. Hit me with your best shot.
I got to figure out where it's at. I apologize. Under Nikki Keister's Reinhold is spelled incorrectly. It's with a T, not a D.
Oh, yes, okay.
Okay, and then, let me figure it out. There's a couple times where it says right of way, and one time it says rights of way, and I think it's...
Standardized of right of way?
Yeah. Under your mayor, under your second paragraph, on page four of the packet.
Okay, what about me?
That was where it says the right of way.
Oh,
the rights of way. One's hyphenated, one's not. I think it should be right of way instead of rights of way.
Oh, I see what you're talking about. Okay.
See where I'm at?
I think so. You're talking about under the fence code section.
Yes, yes.
You're saying the. Now I've lost it. The second, yes, I see. The paragraph, it would be on the, whatever page that is, the second paragraph where it starts, Mayor Daniel explained at the last board's meeting.
Yep, and then it's the sentence that says he noted that when it comes to,
comes to right of way, rights of way. Yeah. Okay.
And then the last one is under my report for the sewer board. It was April 15th and not the 5th.
Roger. Any other changes or corrections? Do I have a motion to approve with the noted changes?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Leslie, seconded by
Tad.
Further discussion? All those in favor, with the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Thank you. Next up, we have a presentation from Easter Seals in Northeast Indiana. Come on up.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us. I'm Stacey Duhl, Vice President of Community Supports, and with me I have...
Vicki Lutens, Chief Development Officer.
We're here from Easter Seals, Northeast Indiana, previously Passages. We just wanted to give an update on what we've been doing and our partnership in the community. So thank you so much for having us today. We appreciate it. So we do have the Creative Learning Center here in Columbia City, and currently, as far as staffing goes, we are two staff down. I know many people are aware that staffing shortages continue to be an issue throughout all employment opportunities. But we have increased, despite all of that, we continue to increase our programming and what that looks like. So we are anticipating a new supervisor starting mid-May. She will be split between our Columbia City location and our Angola location just due to budgetary constraints. We are excited to dive back in as we're looking ahead to the summer for First Fridays and farmers markets. That was a great opportunity for our participants to be able to sell their artwork last year, and they just loved it. So thank you for that opportunity. For volunteer connections, we want to continue to grow those opportunities. Our participants love getting out in the community, engaging in cleaning or sorting, hanging clothes, anything that we can to give back to the community. So we have a great partnership with both the First Church of God and the YMCA to go and volunteer at those locations weekly. We did change a little bit to our programming just because we heard from our families that they wanted a little bit different program. So rather than the traditional you're here from, you know, 8 to 4, Monday through Friday, we now offer a la carte services. So meaning that if a participant just wants to come for ballroom dance, that's all they have to come for. That's it. That's what they want. They can come to art, karate, group music therapy, ES gaming. We now have that gaming room up and running there in the Creative Learning Center as well, which has been phenomenal for some of our folks. We had an individual who was really just kind of glued to his phone. He was playing games all the time because he liked the structure and the rules that came with the game. But once the gaming came into play, like, he now is talking to, he's making friends, he's socializing, he's interacting with his peers for that gaming. So he's just flourished, and we're excited to have that opportunity for him. We also are looking at our workforce development, so we're trying to branch out and give opportunities for our folks to, not just our folks, but anybody in the community that's looking to advance their career pathway. So we offer the Opportunity Labs in partnership with Cardinal Services in Warsaw. We have our CNA, or Certified Nursing Program. We also have Manufacturing Lab that's up and running. And then we have our Hospitality Program. Vicki, do you want to kind of touch base on the Hospitality one?
Yeah, so self-serve is a certification in the hospitality world, and we're offering that certification. Last week I met with Superintendent Dr. Amy Krawis, and she is really excited about this partnership. So between the Career Center with the community schools, Cardinals Opportunity Lab, we're able to provide certifications and trainings under hospitality, healthcare, and manufacturing. We're able to provide that transportation. We also have some scholarship funds. So we're not only serving the individuals we serve currently in our facility, but any of the community members that may not be going to trade school, may not be going to post-secondary ed. They may have some financial barriers, maybe their substance abuse at home, but this is an opportunity for them to apply and attend one of these courses, get some meat on their resume, and help them to with their career path. And so we're really excited about that. We've partnered with Whitley County Community Foundation, September McConnell, kind of connected me with the school, and so we're really excited of beefing that up and also getting into Cherubusco and some other areas to support those students transitioning from school to work or adult life that are at risk.
And so far, we're in week 2 of the first pilot for the Hospitality Lab. And we actually had a participant who started, and the parents had shared, well, he doesn't clock at home. So they were very nervous to send him in to the Hospitality Lab. So mom came day 1, dad came day 2. By day 3, they stayed home. They didn't come because he was talking up a storm to the instructor, to his peers. Whether it leads to employment for this individual or not, this has been a great learning opportunity to develop that communication. So we're just thrilled to be able to offer that. We also have our pre-employment transition services. We are currently serving 37 students within the Whitco area. We are up by 11 enrollments since the beginning of this year. We anticipate that to continue to grow. We are doing an application opportunity for the summer programs where students can apply for either an internship or a volunteer opportunity to continue to develop the community, the employment skills, so that they're prepared for that transition out of high school. So we've had 10 applicants so far within Whitco, with a total of 72 with all the counties that we serve. So we're thrilled to offer that opportunity. Looking ahead at our group home situation and our supported living situation, so we do have the 3 group homes in Whitley County, and then we also have our supported living sites in Whitley County. I do want to share that starting at the beginning of the year, we were working with Brightpoint and looking at what that looks like for individuals that currently resided in those homes. If you're not aware, Brightpoint offers an amazing program opportunity. They lease to individuals for, I think, 30 years, Vicki, or somewhere around there. And then they offer the opportunity for that person that leases it to purchase it at a reduced cost, which is a great opportunity for those individuals that can afford it. Most of our individuals don't have that capacity. We did have one that has been able to take advantage of that, so she is purchasing her home. We're excited for her. But for those that could not, we did have to look at moving to different locations because Brightpoint, at that point, is ready to sell those homes. So that did mean that 3 of those locations did close out. So those individuals either chose different locations within Columbia City, Fort Wayne, or other providers. We continue to face staffing challenges. We're at about a 50% vacancy for staffing in both our supported living and group home sites. So we have done open interviews where we will extend an offer contingent upon background checks. We are currently in the midst of a marketing campaign for employment, really trying to showcase what the job means, what you're going to be doing in this position, because while there are a lot of difficult days, there are a lot of amazing days too, right? I mean, I don't know how many jobs you can say, you know what, I took my client to the Comets game tonight. I took my client for their first time to a rock concert tonight. Like, it's also the amazing fun things, but it's also the little things. Today, for the first time, this participant signed no, and that's never happened before, right? It's the small wins and the big wins and all the fun that goes with it, even on our hardest days. Do you have anything to add, Vicki?
No, I think you're good.
Any questions?
I do want to say thank you to the city and county as well for everything, all the support you have been over the years. It's important to us to continue providing services to those that are in need in this wonderful community, and that's why we're here, to just update what's going on and help with that awareness, and welcome anyone that wants to tour to let us know, and we'll be glad to show off some of those cool things. The gaming room is pretty cool, so highly recommend you coming and seeing that. So,
right. So I guess the only question obviously, we've had some conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
But I guess if my question is, you know, I've been in this job for 14 years now, and I think all 14 years there's been a staffing shortage in the group living section, if you will. Is there and again, I'm not asking you to divulge anything that's not public information, but like, I mean, there's got to be some kind of a long-term strategy on that, right? Like, at the end of the day, if you're only at 50%, and obviously we know that these kind of jobs don't pay enough. They don't pay anywhere near enough what should be owed, or if you will, you know, what it deserves, right? So, you know, what does that look like long-term as you guys look forward into that group home living, that group living kind of scenario?
Yeah.
Like, how do you handle that going forward?
So with the closure of those three sites, the staff that were in those sites will then move to the other sites, which will give us a much better opportunity to fill those sites completely, because instead of having one or two staff at each of the six sites, we now can combine and have 2 to 4 staff at each of the six sites. So that was partly intentional. We wanted to be able to be in a better staffing position with those supported living sites. I will tell you, we're the pay leader in the industry in this area, paying $17-$18 an hour for our DSP wages. And you're absolutely right, it's still not enough. But when you are dealing with reimbursement through Medicaid waiver funding, you have to live within that reimbursable rate, as I'm sure that you're aware. So we would love to pay more. I absolutely agree with you wholeheartedly, because it's a challenging job. Even on the best days, it can be challenging.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we continue to work on long-term of how we can provide benefits to the employees and what other opportunities we can provide to them. So we're continuing to also look at different revenue streams, you know, not being totally reliant on federal funding.
Sure.
But it's always a challenge, and I think in the nonprofit world, it's truly, we're fighting the good fight every day, and we'll continue to, because we believe in our mission and we're going to continue to provide services the best we can. I think with a larger network, we have a little bit more resources, and that's a long-term strategy as well.
Sure. Yeah.
So we do ultimately have subs that come from other locations here to help out. So we definitely are trying new models from 14 years ago or 50, however many years you've been
14,
aware.
14, yeah.
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 So definitely trying different things, but always open to suggestions.
Yes. and the creativity, so we have travel DSP positions where we actually contract and they sign up and say, I'm going to work every weekend, and they travel from location to location. We also do, it's called a Baylor shift, where you work 36 hours for the weekend, but you get paid for 40 hours for the weekend. Mm-hmm. So we've seen some interest in that. We've also expanded what our training looks like. So now you have a 40-hour orientation. After that, you're going to do another 40 hours of training before we put you into the shift on your own. Okay. And then also, we've added supervisor training quarterly. So any supervisor coming into the agency, it's about positive supervision, visibility, recognition. We want to make sure that we're building a great culture, and that's going to lead to retention.
Put some perspective, nationally, 48% is the turnover for DSPs nationwide. So we're kind of, we're actually overall better. In our residential program here, we're a little under. So,
yeah. But great question.
Well, and I appreciate you being here. You know, as you guys know, I think one thing that it appears that you guys are getting better at is the communication, right? And communicating with the public and communicating with, you know, me and with the governing bodies and things like that. I just think that's really, really important as you guys continue to go forward, because, you know, when you have, you know, Passages becomes Easter Shields, Passages that becomes Easter Shields Northeast Indiana, there's a lot of change, a lot of transition. And I think there's a lot of individuals in our community that don't understand how that transition has taken place. And so, as I've told you, yep. I think there's questions out there as to what is this even, what are they doing anymore, you know, those yep. kind of things. And so I think opportunities like this is really helpful to get the word out of that you're still providing services here, you're still providing yes. the group living, you're still providing the Creative Learning Center, you're still going to events, you're doing all the things like that. So I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thank very you. Much so.
Any questions for the council?
Thank you. Thanks for what you do.
Okay. Thank you. Great. You guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Next up is the compliance with Statement of Benefits. Dale.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to first say good evening and let Leslie know what she's in for year after year at this time. But I want to, so we've got a treat here. We've got one of our community's most unique companies, and always, Rosie, maybe the first one to get his compliance forms in year over year. But he's DOT America, truly unique, not only for Columbia City, but the medical device industry, but in the country. And so President Michael Venturini is here just to give you an update and tell you about maybe some really neat things happening in the very near future. And if you have any questions before you vote on his compliance forms.
Sure. Michael, come on up.
Thank you very much for having me. Little background, we're a medical device coating supplier. So we take the implants from the manufacturers and we provide a specialty coating. So we're the only company in the United States that does all the coatings under one roof, and we do it here in Columbia City. We've been growing year over year for the past 10 years. We did a building expansion a few years back. It was a $3 million investment. Gracious enough to give us an abatement for that, so thank you for the continued support. That was the precursor to a project we have coming up now. We're currently at 64 employees. I need to hire another 35 by October, so it's a huge jump for us. It's a project that's been in the works for the last 4 years. The OEM delayed it, started it, delayed it, started it. Now it's finally here. So we've started it slowly, but now they're ramping up fast. So it takes up every last minute of our capacity that we have for machinery. So we're going to be, the plan is to invest another $2 million for one more chamber. So our chambers are fairly expensive. And when we are successful at that, in the first quarter of 2026, we'll have to hire another 35. So we're going to go from about 64 to 130-ish in the span of a year. So not exactly sure where I'm going to find all these people yet. But we will find them.
You want to build some houses for us. Yeah. That would be great.
We might just start to consider that. I don't think you'll like the tents out in our parking
lot. Probably not. Yeah.
But... So, yeah, this is what we came here for. We actually have one of our large OEMs moving business away from our parent company in Rostock, Germany, and moving all the business back here stateside to be coded here in Columbia City. So it's what we've always wanted. It's a little odd because now we're competing with the hand that feeds us a little bit and asking them to invest in us while we take business away from them. So it's a little different, but... it's what the customer base here in the U.S. wants. That's why we opened a facility here. So it's taken a good 10 years to get to that point, but 65 employees over the first 10 years. Our parent company has over 700, and I would not be surprised if we get there. So, again, I don't know where all those people are going to move here from, but that's our goal. We're going to keep investing and continue growing. So thank you for all the continued support. It would not have happened. It's very difficult to ask for money to be sent over to the U.S., let alone in Columbia City, to start this small project and make it grow. But the support of the council with the abatements and everything else you've done has been, it helps me to argue for that continued investment. So when the state and the city show that continued support, it goes miles for us. So any questions?
Well, I know we've been looking at your reports for, I know I've been looking at for at least 10 years. Mm-hmm. And you guys always do everything you say you're going to do and overachieve that. So yeah. I think it's outstanding, and our community is blessed to have you. So
thank you. Appreciate that.
So I'm assuming at some point you're going to be coming back and going to have another conversation. But as for your reports today, I think they're very self-explanatory as I've read them. I don't know if you guys said, but I think they're very self-explanatory of what you said, which is that you guys have continued to grow, you've continued to invest, you've continued to hire. I think you're in a lot of ways you're a model company for our community.
You.
And I know. I'll speak personally, but I think I speak for the council in saying we're happy to continue being a great partner with you. So we want to do that.
Greatly appreciate that.
Great.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and run through the compliance with statement of benefits for each of these. If you're okay with it, are there any of them that you'd like to talk about? Let's start there. Because rather than going through each of these and looking at them, if you guys are okay with it, I'd like to take them in mass. Mm-hmm. Is that okay, Marcia?
Yeah.
I'm not the numbers with that.
Yeah, I'm in favor of
taking them in mass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay. Okay. So, can I have a motion to approve DOT America's 2022-6 real property, DOT America's 2017-23 real property, DOT America's 2014-15 real property, DOT America's 2021-20 personal property, DOT America's 2017-24 personal property, DOT America's 2014-15 personal property, JV Investments 2015-21 real property, and VR Real Estate's 2018-3 real property. Approval and find them in compliance and grant an additional year of abatement where applicable.
So moved.
Okay.
Motion second. Further discussion. All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous of those present. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, we're going to amend the schedule. Oh, I'm sorry, Dale.
Well, I didn't know if you wanted to do the other ones on there as well right now.
That's why I said take them all in mass.
Good for you.
Nice work,
Dale.
I had
something meaningless to say about
you. Do you want to share anything else?
No. The ones that's last year, so it's only a small percentage.
Yes.
And the other one, I just wanted to say that VR Real Estate, that he's been able to re-up those
leases
in there. Those leases.
Awesome. So, good. Awesome. Yeah, I know. I think it's been great again. I hope you all understood what I was saying, that it was more than just DOT. But to me, again, there was nothing in there. None of those abatements brought any question to me personally. You have – all of these companies have grown. Mm-hmm. They have fulfilled plus more of their commitment to the city. And again, as a reminder to the populace or to the public, you know, abatements are just it's basically a slowing down of those property taxes. So ultimately – they are paying property taxes on the equipment on the real property. It's just a slower schedule, if you will. It basically spreads it out, if you will. So with that being said, Dale, you have anything else you want to share with us?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So we will adjust the schedule and bring up Nathan Bilger, Planning and Building Director. I believe he passed out something for you all regarding fences.
Yeah, so this is kind of unusual to bring a code amendment to you guys, because usually the Plan Commission is doing all the down and dirty work and stuff. But since the discussion started here, I kind of felt like I wanted to give you guys the current round of options that I expect to be presenting to the Plan Commission before it becomes public, in case you get more questions or anything, so you're not blindsided. So just to really quickly highlight what they are, the back page is the code as current. And what we had discussed before, I kind of got the sense that there was some misunderstanding what the current code was. Currently, front yard fences of any type are allowed up to 3 feet, which is about here. Chain link, if you want to go chain link, you're getting, the code gives you a bonus up to about 4 feet, so I think about here or so. And it felt like there was some discussion around that, and it wasn't quite clear. So just want to make sure that was clear. But in terms of addressing the comments from last time, option one as presented is to insert a transparency rule. So what is a transparent fence, and allowing transparent fence up to 4 feet in front yard. There's some concern potentially about chicken wire or cattle fences being transparent and not being what we want to see. So that they are allowed right now up to 3 foot anyway. Don't usually have a problem with it, but it's a valid thing to look at. Option two then is just to allow.
Is that in the front yard as well? The chicken wire up to 3 foot?
Yeah, and there is no restriction on the type of fence as long as it's a customary type of fence. So you can't use things like pallets, for example. That's probably the most common request.
Okay.
That's not a customary fencing material, but cattle fence is a fence.
Okay.
So yes, if you get a 3 foot cattle fence, technically it's allowed.
Okay. Thank
Fortunately,
you.
Nobody's done that.
Yeah, thank
you. Note to the public, we don't encourage cattle fences in the city of Columbia City in the front yard specifically, just to be clear.
So. Residential districts specifically.
Yes.
Ag districts, they're perfectly okay. That's a different matter. Option two, this comes from the Plan Commission's discussion at their last meeting where they threw out, we had a bunch of discussion about the far reaches of do nothing versus something far more extensive dealing with historic code and stuff, and that's well beyond what you guys had wanted to see, and for expediency, we're keeping it pretty narrow. But one of the options that does address what you had wanted to see is just to allow any type of fence up to 4 feet and not give chain link specifically the bonus of being up to 4 feet. So it's consistency, remove some arbitrariness, or whatever. But again, the idea that you may have some other types of materials that you may not want to see. Option three is just simply inserting a quote-unquote open decorative option along with chain link. So if you have quote-unquote open decorative fencing or chain link, they are given the bonus. So that does tighten down. Cattle fence isn't decorative, so that definitely tightens that down, but it's pretty subjective. So
you say open so you can see through it. I assume that's
right.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, with the Plan Commission, any of these could be kind of worked together and melded and stuff, but these are the options that are kind of this or this, and then at the meeting we can mingle them.
For clarity's sake, when you talk about open, you also mean transparent. Are you using those as synonyms, or those are different terms? Open
I use the term open because that's what is already in the code. Open chain link. So I use that again for open decorative.
Gotcha.
There is no. It's pretty subjective. The first option is the one that is more objective because it gives a definition as to what transparency is.
Okay. Thank you very
yes.
much.
Yes. And again, we could mix and match if it's felt necessary. Option four isn't really an option, but it's again dealing with what I've been hitting on, the material question of do we want to insert more code about the actual fence materials themselves. And we've had a handful of questions over the years that I've been here about materials. Again, it hasn't really been a big issue, but it has been questioned, well, does this apply to residential districts? Does it apply to fences in the ag district? What about commercial fences? How do we handle those? So this is an attempt to address some of those questions as well as head off the questions about the chicken wire cattle fence in the front yard. So it too could be applied to any of them or not, as the case may be. So I kind of talked more than I thought I would here. But if you got any immediate feedback, I'll take it. If not, if you want to chew on it and give any feedback to Jen or Dan or Chip as Planning Commission members or to me later, those are great, and we can work that into what is explored at the next Planning Commission meeting on the 5th. Again, the main thing, I didn't want you guys blindsided if people saw it on the website and say, hey, did you know? So.
My biggest thing is I don't have I'm not a big front house, fence in front of the house. I'm not real big on that for looks, but at the same time, I know we've run across a couple of situations with people that have animals. And a 4-foot fence, I'm not a big fan of just a chain link. In the front yard, if they could put something decorative up front that's still see-through, that, you know, because I'll be honest with you, there's a house at the top of our cul-de-sac that when I'm walking my dog, they got two German Shepherds and another pretty good-sized dog that come charging out, and they got an underground fence. Well, I hope the batteries are working in that thing. I walk on the other side of the road when I see there's dogs out there. You don't know. Normal people don't know that there's an underground fence there, and if there's a 4-foot fence that would help protect me, I'm all for that. If it's decorative, I'm not a big fan for the chain link, but if it looks nice, you know, appeals for the home. But yeah, I think you live where I at.
Oh yeah,
and you see those two German Shepherds come flying out, and they're not happy to see you. Something you're saying.
I think it's just you, Dan.
They
love Mike.
Yeah. But anyway. I'm all in favor of a 4-foot decorative fence, you know, as long as it follows all of our codes. I would just keep it simple.
Yeah.
I had a 4-foot fence decorative, see-through, and not inhibiting the intersections at all. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to make it more difficult than that myself.
One thing about the option 2 that I forgot to mention, which is just allow everything at 4 feet. I have been checking other codes, and that seems to be pretty common, that most codes don't have a difference between them. And those that do allow for front yard fences, which is most, just allow them at 4 feet, period, and don't make any other distinction. So again,
even if you cannot see through it, or like a privacy fence to go up at 4 feet, or no?
Many of them, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, there are some that have the transparency option or the standard, and that's where that text comes from, is one of those. Mm-hmm. But many of them in Indiana just say fences up to 4 feet are allowed, and then you rely on the visibility triangle restriction to make sure that visibility is seen at the intersections. And our triangle already prohibits anything between 2 feet and 8 feet. Mm-hmm. So even 3 feet in that area is already prohibited. Wow. So, again, just wanted to talk about that. Thank you.
I definitely lean towards the open decorative verbiage over the transparent.
That's option 3.
Yeah, option 3, just because you want them to be able to see the visibility, and transparent, to me, like, it could be anything. I don't like the word usage.
Yeah, option 3, you said?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one that seems like it made the most sense. I mean, obviously, I haven't read through these in detail. Thank you for providing these.
Yeah. But yeah, if there's any that you just absolutely feel aren't in the ballpark as well, I'll pull them before I make them, send them to the Planning Commission.
So. It would be huge that they add all the building materials like you have on option 4, though, just because it makes it more clearly defined so people know what they can and can't do, so they can't get away with a horrible fence.
So just to be clear from the council, what I'm hearing you say, and again, unless I haven't heard from you yet necessarily, but that doesn't mean whether you do or don't, but the idea of allowing any kind of fence in the front yard is not necessarily something that's not a road you really want to go down. Is that what I hear you saying?
Correct.
I would agree with that, yeah.
So,
well, again,
and I'm not saying it needs to be in there or that you need to take it out. I'm just saying I think it's important to kind of know what the council's thinking, is my point.
Right, so. And I want to make sure it's clear that we already allow any type of fence right now up to 3 feet.
Up to 3 feet,
if we're scrapping that part of the code as it's written now, then we're really diving into the material options and some of these other pieces.
Well, I think the 4 foot, because, you know, hey, I'm a short guy, I can't even see over that. If it's a privacy fence, I can't see it. But, I mean, 3 feet, I think your average even below average height person like myself could see over that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel, but.
I guess I could see, you know, maybe going 4 foot just for situations like having German Shepherds. German Shepherds could probably jump over that 30 foot. Like I say, if you go at the front yard, I don't have such a big deal with. I don't personally don't want a front yard fence, but I can see why some individuals may want that, and for needs of their animal. Like I say, I feel more secure walking in front, knowing that that's a fence protecting me that I can see.
Yeah.
So partly it's like, you know, how much are we going to prohibit individuals from doing things on their own property?
Yeah.
I guess, you know, I don't want to be too restrictive, but at the same time, you know, as long as it looks nice. And personally, I'm not, like I said earlier, I'm not a big fan of the chain link, but if it makes sense, it looks good in front of their house, make it attractive. No, I guess I don't have a
big. Sure. It seems like the option 3 lends itself to the most, you know, giving more options to people without being too restrictive, because it does allow for basically ornamental or just some sort of decorative.
Aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, I mean, you have examples, but I assume aluminum, you know, vinyl, I think vinyl is one.
Vinyl's not in there yet.
But like aluminum, wrought iron, or it's not iron, but it looks like wrought iron or vinyl fencing or would fall in those typical categories too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, again, if you see stuff, feel free to feed comments to the 1, 2, 4 of us or any of us, and we'll take it up. The Planning Commission meeting's on the 5th. I'm planning on making this public as of either Wednesday or Friday. I can't remember when we absolutely have to make it public for that 10-day notice. So.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
And then if you'll indulge me, I have two other things real quick.
Okay.
Following up on the comment about housing.
Yeah.
Permits for our department of all types across the county, I don't have the city specifically right now, are about the same as they were in 2018, which was a pretty busy year, if you remember, but not nearly as busy as the last several years. That said, we're about half in where we were in 2018 with single-family dwellings. So if that's your metric, we are not there. We are about the same as last year, though, which was a pretty low year. So I don't think I'm telling you anything you didn't already know or expect, but there is investment going on. There's still permits going. It's just not new housing. And then the final thing was just a reminder that Columbia City Connect is hosting 2 historic downtown tours on the 3rd, Saturday the 3rd, at 10 and 11:30, beginning at the Courthouse Gazebo. And depending on who's there, depends on the route and what buildings and the length and so on. So.
Is that the one we're participating in? I sent you this about the first mayor from Columbia City Connect, the historic tour.
Oh,
I think we may be participating in that. Meaning it's the vinyl thing. If that's different.
No. This is just a historic walking tour.
Oh, walking tour. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yep. No, it's okay. They've got so much stuff going on.
It's great.
Yeah, it's great. That is a different thing. That's window clings.
Oh, okay.
Which hopefully will be ready by then, but
yeah. It'll
be ready in May. So.
Great.
So, okay. Thank you. And again, let me know if there's anything you see.
Thank you, Nathan. Appreciate it. Okay. One last thing before we go to department reports. So, the City Redevelopment Commission is looking at putting together a new TIF district in that kind of north of Walmart, that potential development up there, and the idea is obviously trying to capitalize on the development and the infrastructure cost and some of those things. So long story short is that in order to create the TIF district up there, we have to have our Economic Development Commission recreated, if you will. We have had one in the past. Individuals have their terms have expired. We've not refilled those because there's really not a need for it consistently. The Economic Development Commission is really there to kind of create the economic development areas, if you will, of the community, as well as it can finance economic development projects. I don't anticipate the EDC will do that. It is different than the county EDC, just to be real clear. Those are two separate things, even if they may have similar initials. So with that being said, the Columbia City Economic Development Commission is made up of one member appointed by the mayor, one member appointed by the county council, and one member appointed by the common council. So because this is really focused on kind of TIF, I've asked Tad if he would be willing to serve for you. However, it is your decision. But I think it would make sense to have Tad because of the Redevelopment Commission connection. I think that makes sense. But again, it's up to you. So I wanted to request your appointment for that Economic Development Commission. I have to go to the county council at their next meeting to get their appointment, if you will. But it's a 3-member board, and the common council member's term is a 2-year term.
I would have Tad be part of the Columbia City Economic Development Commission.
I'll second.
Okay. Motion by Dan, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. Dan, Jenny, and Leslie approve. Tad abstains, I'm assuming. Yes, thank you. Thank you for that. I'm not trying to put you up against the wall there, but it was one of those where we were told by Ice Miller, like, hey, you need to have this before we can create a TIF district for you. And I said, okay, well, we'll try to get on that. So with that, department head reports.
Oh, my, took a nap, sorry. FYI, Arbor Day is this Friday. We'll be planting a tree at Little Turtle. I am interviewing currently for the community engagement specialist. The trail, we just approved the first payout for that. That is moving very fastly. It should be done no later than July 25th. The skate park is wrapping up. They should be done with the actual skate park Friday.
Will you talk about the trail development like you did in Board of Works so that they know what street issues and other things like that, please?
I was on a roll.
I know you were. You did a great job.
Let's rewind back. So if anybody contacts you, we will be closing within the next 2 to 3 weeks. Main Street will go down to one lane, and there'll be a signal with like a cross arm, so it'll be one lane. They're putting a pedestrian island in Main Street because that is where the trail is going to cross over Main Street, so there will be a little discomfort. I feel like Columbia City is used to discomfort because we do it every year, but there will be a little discomfort for a pedestrian island to be placed in Main Street. This island, I know a lot of people say the street is very narrow there. NDOT has approved it. It should slow down traffic and give pedestrians a place, safe place to not get hit.
Where specifically Smart. Are you talking about?
What's that?
Where specifically are you?
Spencer and Main okay. Street by the Dairy Barn.
Gotcha. Thank you.
And it's going to be on the north side of that intersection, right? Crossing at the gas station side, not the other side.
Yes.
Does that make sense, everybody?
Yep. Okay. Yep.
I should have pulled up a map. I'm sorry.
Well, you were put on the spot. So.
I don't know where my train of thought is.
Eagle Park.
Oh, okay. Eagle Park is... Eagle Park, skate park should be wrapped up Friday. We do have sidewalks that tie into the skate park that we are trying to logistically get in. We've got grass seed and everything. We're looking to do a grand opening the first week of June, so I'll keep you updated on that. I don't think I have anything else.
Question to Chip. Thank you. Kelly?
Yeah, just a couple things here. I've had a couple guys, Matt, come over and ask me if we could lend him a hand trying to get the baseball dugouts back at Morris Park, help him get them finished. He ran into a little bit of a pickle there. And I had Tony and Jason back there doing concrete work in the dugouts, and they just finished pouring the last one today. So all the concrete's done in it, and I just wanted to give those guys a shout out because I think they helped a lot, and a lot of hard work back there. They had to buggy a lot of the concrete back because you couldn't get trucks back there to it. So shout out to them guys, Jason Wells and Tony Little, for their work back there on that. And then had a pre-construction meeting today with A&Z Engineering and Brooks Construction. They're going to be doing our paving throughout town this year through our Community Crossings grant application that we got. Mayor set in on it a little bit today too. I think their start date's going to be like somewhere around May 12th and hopefully be done by the end of July. So there's 44 street segments and 33 ADA ramps that'll be under construction. So like the trail going through town plus that, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on this year in town. So that's all.
Question of Kelly. Thank you, Matt.
As Kelly said, they came over, helped us out with the dugouts, and at the current pace, the roofs are on. Also, thanks to Kelly for giving me a recommendation of an Amish crew to have the roofs put on. They put on all four roofs in just a day and a half. Well, it's actually just a day. So our current timeline, we should be ready for ball games on Monday, the 28th. So that was very helpful. New pickleball courts had some flaws we found over the winter thaw, and those areas will be addressed and be done by the end of May, the 1st of June, fixed by the company.
That is warranty work, just so you're aware.
And the next big thing that we have on our plate is to start the pool, getting it ready. We're a little behind on that because of the dugouts, but we'll pick up and take off and get that ready for it to be open this Memorial Day weekend.
About a month away.
Yep.
Question to Matt. Thank you. Mike.
My staff met with a representative for Alma, which is some of the automated valves that we have in our facility. We've had one that kept blowing fuses, and when they opened it up, they had burned boards and wires in it, so they disassembled that and they took it back and sent it back to Alma, and waiting on a quote to see what repairs will be for that. We also had to replace our secondary scum pump. We ordered that, and that was delivered yesterday. I got a hold of, contacted Power Plant Services out of Fort Wayne. They service our sludge boiler, and I worked out a contract with them that when our digester's down, having all the repairs and everything done, that they're going to come in and look at our boiler, inspect it, clean it, tune it for natural gas, and then they'll come back when the cold weather and it's back up and running again, and then tune it on methane because it's a dual fuel system. If you remember, we completed our long-term control plan, which was under agreed order by them a couple years ago, and I just received a letter on Monday that they completed the level of control review. Basically, what they just looked at all the data that we've submitted so far to see if what we did worked. They have 10 different items that they're not happy with, so I'm doing my best to address those to try to get that taken care of. So I've been working on that.
All good.
Question to Mike. Thank you, Mike. Marcia, you're still here.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize this was Rosie's last night.
It is.
I just want to mention that we've been together how many years?
Twenty-seven years.
I think. Not as long as you've been here, but yeah. Time. Anyway, my word, I would have at least had a bouquet of flowers or something. a crown of some nature, but it's been unbelievable. So thank you for being a wonderful friend, my dear.
Thank you. Yep. I'm going to miss everybody. That's gone. I'm going to have fun sitting at home watching you on the video and texting Leslie saying no.
I'm going to need extra sticky notes at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yes, obviously. Appreciate Rosie and all of the work that she's done She's not going, it's not a goodbye, she's not leaving, but she's transitioning to the new role where, while Leslie moves into the court treasurer's role. But yeah, appreciate everything you've done and friendship that you've had with me. And, you know, when I ran for mayor, and you guys probably have heard this as well, but when I ran for mayor, I was told many times, that the mayor didn't run the city. Rosie Coyle runs the city. and many times that has been absolutely correct. So I appreciate you, and I'm not going to do a big speech because I know you're not leaving, but I appreciate you and your partnership. So, couple of other reports that I will, there's no good way to transition to this. So a couple other reports from some of the other department heads. Gary said that all three of the applicants and candidates, if you will, for the police department have been approved through Public Safety Medical, and now they're getting approved through PERF. Tornado sirens at three different locations, the FOP Lodge, DePoy Drive, and Lincoln Way. Those motors have burnt up for some reason, and so they're kind of investigating that, but trying to get those back up and running right now. They had radar and LIDAR recertification coming up on May 8th, and the countywide training, the emergency vehicle operation, that's the one where they block off Tower View Drive and do the different courses and stuff. That's happening on May 4th, so if you're in that area, you'll have to find alternative ways to get to and from Van Buren Street or to and from Hannah Street, basically. So let's see. Fire, the three candidates for fire have been approved, and they start May 5th. They're going to be working Monday through Friday for 8 hours a day for 2 weeks to kind of get the training under their belt, and then they'll be assigned to different shifts at that point in time. They're working on Sierra Wireless, the Sierra Wireless things to make sure they're operational. That's been fixed on 101. They're looking at 102. And they're on 107, because there's always a truck that has issues. 107 is the problem now, and that is it's leaking somewhere around the turret. And so our mechanic, Adam, is working to get that fixed. We have four guys right now taking certified fire investigator course that should end this month. And the SCBA bottles are being still sent in small batches for hydro testing. Terry had said that he received quotes on a DC, and I forget what the DC stands for, so I apologize. I still don't remember what that stands for. He told me, but I don't remember. It obviously is not super critical, obviously. Completed drilling on concrete walls at the city jail to try to get the wiring going on that. We'll talk about the jail thing in front of you here in a moment. And SOS and Chip and him and the electric department kind of continue working on plans at Eagle Park there. Couple other things to note is that Gary's going to be having medical procedure, so if you have any issues for police purposes, talk to Deputy Chief Chris, and he can kind of help you out during at least the next maybe week or 2 weeks. And then Tom is out as well, not for the same reason, but for a different reason. He's for vacation, so if you need anything, talk to Toby on that. In front of you, I placed the packet from Moat Park Group. Moat Park was the group that did our feasibility study for the jail project. The thing you really need to maybe know about that is really kind of twofold. Number one is the initial estimate is in there, and then I stuck the second estimate in there. The first estimate came back at almost $9 million, and I said, absolutely no way are we doing that project. That cannot be a realistic number. So they did a new estimate that's in there. It's around, I think, $5.5 million. It does not mean that we can do it or we're not going to do it or whatever. It is more in there just for your information. You may also remember that we engaged Baker Tilly and Ice Miller to kind of look at what options are on the table. Obviously, we're not going to go and do anything without your approval and concurrence on that, but I did want to get that document in front of you so that you could digest it. Feel free to send me questions by email or whatever, or call or whatever, as you find things along there. Again, the idea of the jail is to make something that's going to be long-lasting for our police department, to create some entrepreneurship type space, and also to some kind of an indoor playground or something, a quality of life amenity in downtown. I will tell you that the number, the new number of 5. Whatever million, does not include the playground equipment and things like that. So we're looking at all those things. We have not said, you know, yes, we're moving forward with any of this. We're just digesting right now. So I just want you to know that. After we got the initial numbers, I went to Moat Park and I said, this is not realistic. Can you find ways to make it work at a lower number? And so you will see that the outline of the building attached to the letter at the very back of the packet, that new packet has a different outline. It's a couple of walls that were maybe saved that we could reuse, air HVAC locations, things like that. Things that we're not going to change the actual usage, but we'll save a bunch of dollars and reuse what's kind of already there. So digest it. I'm still digesting it myself, but I wanted to at least get in front of you so that you knew kind of what was going on. Okay? Last thing I have this... Oh, did he cut out? He didn't want to stick around? Last couple things I'll say. Tomorrow is Administrative Professionals Day, so I want to thank my assistant, Ashley Buckles, for all the hard work she does to keep me in line. Youth Council is on Thursday and Friday. I have a Mayor's Roundtable in Delphi. So next couple days are a little busy. But next week on Monday and Tuesday, we have some comprehensive plan stakeholder interview with some different groups, which I think is going to be that'll be a lot of good information for the comp plan team, comp plan planners, if you will. And the steering committee won't meet until after. Yeah, and I don't know that have we made that date yet? I don't know that we've made that date yet. So I think it's you and Jennifer on that, isn't it? Yeah, so anyways. So, okay. Anyways. That's probable. So, and then, I don't want to steal thunder here, but I believe the plan is on Saturday, May 3rd at 10 a.m., that we're going to do Leslie and Brent's swearing in here at City Hall. So you are invited to come to that. I imagine it'll be probably less than an hour. But we're going to be swearing in into their new positions. So excited for that.
He's back. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, back. Okay. Dan.
I guess my key word for Rosie is respect. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had the privilege of being here since 1987, and when I started working with City, and I played softball for you for a number of years, and I've had the best times, so I just want to say thanks for that. And I had the privilege of going with Sean down to go down into a coal mine and see how our energy is generated. One of the most incredible experiences that I've had, went out with Leslie and Sean and one of his workers, and I was just in awe of how clean that was, and how, you know, we went down into the mine to see how the coal was harvested, transferred over to the plant to see how it's turned into electricity, and I don't know, I'm still in awe of how that works and the cleanliness of it. I'm just very thankful that Sean invited us to go. I highly recommend that for anybody to take advantage to see how that actually works. It just blows my mind how somebody knows how to do that. So very grateful for having that opportunity.
Ted.
I don't know anything. But Rosie, you know, you can always just come sit in the audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
jonesing for the action.
And then
just drive
somebody,
your golf cart over and you sit over here.
We have somebody in the audience.
Yeah, there we go. No offense.
Not that you guys aren't coming out, but. Yeah.
We'd love to have you back. That's all I have.
Jen?
I have nothing.
Okay.
I'm going to have a little stool between Marcia and Rosie. The seat currently so that Rosie can sit down. I mean, so she's right there. But no, I concur with Dan on the, and I'd like to thank IMPA for inviting us. They were huge and getting us down there and just showing us really amazing things. So if you guys can get to it, I would highly recommend going. It's, like Dan said, once in a lifetime experience. Like, I've not stopped talking about it since I got home. So if that tells you anything, it's super cool. But and I'm not letting Rosie go anywhere for a while. So she and I are going to be together for a while, and I'm ready to learn. Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I don't think I have anything else. So there's no press. Anything else from the audience? No. We do have CIP committee that'll start here in give or take 7:10. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. We'll call the meeting adjourned.
It's around. Enjoy your track meeting.
It's already done. Hardly one of Pete.
You're gone.
Good.
Wasting my time.
I was going to.